Dear friends, it is my pleasure to be with you again and to continue this analysis of the book of Revelation. Let me remind you of what we have already seen, what could be the first three churches, three messages to the three churches. The first one is the early church, and basically it lasted the two first centuries AD. I am talking about Ephesus, the one that formed the canon of the scripture. Then we come to the church of Smyrna, the persecuted church to which no blame is addressed and which will victoriously overcome the terrible ordeal of the persecution of Diocletian from 303 to 313. Then we enter the time of Constantine. This is the period when the church is slipping. It becomes centralized in Rome, turning harder and harder, and within a century it will become a persecutor. Now, let's turn to what happens after. This brings us to the church of Thyatira, and we'll see that this church reaches such a degree of decay that there must be two groups to somehow continue to be the church of God. Thyatira was a very important commercial center with a highly developed craft industry. Even Apostle Paul speaks about Thyatira in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Let us read this, Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart. She heeded the things spoken by Paul. Lydia, a seller of purple. So, there was an important commercial center there. Now let's consider which business card Jesus presents in verse 18 of chapter 2. We shall read the whole text. Jesus presents himself as the one who has eyes like a flame of fire. At first sight, this seems hard. Let's read it together. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, as from verse 18, and we'll read up to verse 29. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the death of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. As I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus presents himself in a severe manner because he has important charges to address. Yet, at the beginning, the initial statement seems laudatory. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. It is still God's church, but he has strong reproaches to express. In verse 20, he says, Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, that is to say, she pretends to talk from God, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Here we have the feeling that this prophetess, this pseudo-prophetess Jezebel, a danger even worse than that of the Nicolaitans. So let us try to look through and understand what this means. We are told, Revelation 2:20, Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel. Jezebel is one of the darkest characters of the Old Testament. She was a foreign princess who had married King Ahab. There was something here that has to do with prostitution, because Ahab shouldn't have married a foreign princess. And this foreign princess had such an authority that she virtually imposed Ahab what he had to do. And so, Ahab really got separated from the teaching of God. Jezebel had led over 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah to Ahab's court. Enough to say that she intended to change Israel's religion. And she would have probably succeeded had not God's prophets intervened, Elijah the prophet in particular. But Ahab was not strong enough to oppose the authority of his wife. So, here we have an example of this collusion between the political authority that was represented by Ahab and the religious authority represented by Jezebel. But the outcome of that collusion was the persecution of God's people. And those who were straight in God's sight, who had nothing to do with that, found themselves swept by the claims of Ahab. You must read the story of Jezebel to understand what it is all about here. Then, verse 21 says the following, And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. I gave her time. Well, the period corresponding to Thyatira represents virtually the entire Middle Ages until the Reform. And we'll see what happened. So, she had to repent, but she does not want to repent of her fornication. What is this fornication? Once again, it is the collusion of politics and religion. I would like to read a text we find a little further in the book of Revelation, where another woman, Babylon, will face the same criticisms. Revelation chapter 18, verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. To Babylon also, reproach is addressed for seeking support or seeking the company of the kings of the earth. For a church, a religious authority, seeking support outside of God is fornication. And seeking support from political authorities is fornication with the kings of the earth. And it is the case here for Jezebel with Ahab. But one can also go looking for help in trades, in wealth, or possibly from the dead. I invite you to read a text found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 6. We read the following. Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 6. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off of his people. But it is fornication, adultery for a church which seeks support from the dead. One must recognize that the church has repeatedly called for prayer to saints or to Mary or to all kinds of people who normally are at rest. There are no prayers whatsoever to be addressed to saints, whoever they are. And we shall see at the end of the book of Revelation, when John bowed down before the angel to adore him, the latter lifts him up right away. It is prostitution to worship wood or stone. It is prostitution to worship any representation whatsoever. The only one to be worshipped is God. Thyatira, because it rejected God's instruction, this church will face a great tribulation God sent against it. This is what we read in verse 22. Revelation 2:22. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And we must recognize that in the late Middle Ages, many wars, many epidemics, many problems of all kinds happened to be the cause of real slaughter. It seems that some of these epidemics have destroyed up to one-third of the known population, at least the population of Western Europe. God is called a jealous God. We read this in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I think we must move forward, keeping in mind that we do not have to commit any fornication, nor have to seek support outside God's support. Let's continue then studying this text and see what it still has to tell us. Revelation 2, verse 24. Now, to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depth of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. We note in this verse that, finally, there are two groups. To you, to all rest in Thyatira. This, what still is the church. It is this group which has not accepted this doctrine, which has not agreed with fornication, which has not accepted any collusion with the political forces, which has not looked for support through prayers to the dead. And here, the text is very clear. It says, they have not known the depths of Satan. This means that the church has known the depths of Satan, the worst thing that could happen. Yes, the worst thing that could be, I think you can say and name it, because this is no longer the case now, was the Inquisition, which has fiercely hounded the true worshippers of God. Of course, there must have been some doctrinal errors, but those worshippers were sincere believers. And despite the opposition, despite the threat of death, they stood for the Word of God. And then, there were the Crusades that have done so much harm that even today, the Middle East countries still remember them. So much bloodshed on behalf of a worthless cause, supposedly to conquer the tomb of Jesus. It is therefore said, to those who belong to the right movement, I do not put on you other burdens. There could probably have no other reasons to blame that church, but in the midst of such a decay, God does not inflict them with other burdens. But hold fast what you have till I come, says verse 25. But what are the promises made to the winners? Verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. These verses quote a text from Psalm 2. And let's please read it together, verse 7 to 12. Psalm 2, verses 7 to 12. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Here is a major text. It talks about breaking the bonds that can grip us. Jesus himself has received this authority, and in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, he will be the one who breaks the clay pot with a rod of iron. The main purpose is to save his people. And God will allow, and he has continuously seen to it, that during the dark and troubled period of the whole Middle Ages, there remained a faithful people, a remnant. Oh, sometimes they were lost in the mountains, sometimes secluded, continually persecuted and prosecuted. We could name the Waldenses and also the precursors of the Reform. We could also mention the Cathars, who certainly were not without any errors too, but who loved the Lord and looked for purity. Let's read together, if you please, a text we find in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter 1, 19. And so, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Here lies the promise that is made, the morning star, and the prophetic word helps in this process. If you want, we'll read the end of chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, verse 16. Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. With this text of the book of Revelation, Jesus grants us a little while ahead of time to have a glimpse of the prospect of his return. This star is the one that shines the last before sunshine. So, this period of the church is the whole period of the Middle Ages. Let me go back to what is said to this church at the end of the message. Revelation 2, verse 28. I will give him the morning star. Here lies the promise. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So, what I'd like you to remember from this period is that whatever the authority be, religious, family, internal, political one, if it keeps you gripped, preventing you to look to Jesus as you would like to, then break this yoke. You are not accountable. You are a free person before God. You do not have to consider all the bonds, all the handcuffs they tie you with. You can break these links, break these chains, just as the text says in Psalm 2, especially in adversity. It must be done with caution, with care, with respect for authority in place, with respect to those around us. But any authority whatsoever does not have to dominate our conscience. Our conscience must be free, and it has no account to hold to anyone except to Jesus, to God.